This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Bill Raggio and Tom Joslin, senior fellows of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. They keep the Long War Journal with their colleagues. This is a chronicle of these 20 years extending now of Afghanistan and the larger story of the Ummah, the jihadists stretching from the Hindu Kush to the Mediterranean. Right now we're focusing on Afghanistan because of these next week's decisions must be made. Bill, the New York Times is reporting this from General Kenneth McKenzie, head of Pentagon Central Command, overseeing Afghanistan. I am concerned about the ability of the Afghan military to hold on after we leave, the ability of the Afghan Air Force to fly, in particular, after we remove the support for those aircraft. The issue is at the center of torturous discussion, says the New York Times, among officials in the Biden administration who are trying to devise workarounds for the myriad problems associated with President Biden's decision to withdraw. Officials at the Pentagon say that one possible solution would be to transfer contracts with private companies now paid for by the United States to the Afghan government. Bill, at the heart of this, the Afghan government does not have an ability to hold on to the contractors, and I cannot imagine the contractors will pay without will stay without being paid.
Yeah. That's absolutely correct, John. And the other issue, too, is will the contractors be protected under U.S. laws? These contracts are transferred to the Afghan government. That's always a very big issue of whether who has actual, the legal ability to prosecute them. Because sometimes the Afghan government or other, foreign governments can be quite capricious in their how they handle contractors. So you're going to be a very big, A, if you can't pay them, good luck. And B, if you can't ensure that they'll have some form of Western protections, then, how are you going to get contractors to work in country? And then the other issue, look at what's happening with the security situation. Where are these contractors going to be based within Afghanistan? We just discussed how the security is deteriorating greatly in the north. It's deteriorating around Kabul, the south, and the east. East may as well be Taliban-controlled territory at this time. I know that that's not the full case, but these things are teetering. And if you're a contractor, you're a Western contractor, where do you go inside of Afghanistan to work to support the Afghan military? And look, U.S. officials, they're waking up to the fact that the Afghan military probably isn't going to be able to fly its air force. I wouldn't say probably. It's highly likely that within a year you will have most of its most of the Afghan military or Air Force won't be able to fly. I mean, this is just the reality of the situation. Without those contractors, it's a guarantee.
Tom, that item about how the Pakistani prime minister says the CIA cannot base in Pakistan into Afghanistan, the inference there is that the CIA is seeking to be present because – is that because we're looking at acknowledgement that the Siraj Haqqani and the Haqqani network represent the Al-Qaeda and that Al-Qaeda is present in the zone, the gray zone between Pakistan and Afghanistan? Is that what I can't think of why the CIA would concern itself with the Taliban.
Yeah, I mean, basically, the idea is that they have to worry about suppressing the international terrorist threat that will inevitably flow out of Afghanistan post-American withdrawal. The problem is, and this is where this all becomes a tangled mess, and which Bill and I have documented for many years now, is that, the point is that the terrorists that they're worried about posing an international threat are embedded in the Taliban insurgency and are fighting to overthrow the government of Kabul. And so it's mainly just an issue of the priorities at hand day to day for the jihadis. It's not a matter of, basically you have one guy who's devoted to international affairs and then everybody else is local, which is basically the model the U.S. government's been operating under. And it just doesn't make sense. I mean, the real truth of the matter is that you guys that are fighting on the ground right now against the government of Afghanistan could very easily be repurposed for a plot in the West or somewhere else in the future. So it's a continuum. There's no very hard line. But basically, they want to have the ability to take out any terrorist who pops up, any international terrorist who pops up who they can recognize and take them out. And that's a very difficult task, even with American forces in country, because, as I said, basically Al-Qaeda and its allies are enmeshed in the insurgency.
Bill, does it surprise you to read in the AP report from Kabul, Afghanistan, that the previous president of Afghanistan, Hamid Karzai, says that extremism is at present at its highest point and that the U.S. has failed in its mission over 20 years. Is there anything surprising about this, Bill?
Nothing surprising whatsoever, John. This is something that Tom and I have meticulously documented for the past, though, I don't know, 15 years about how it's that, as Tom discussed, it's that Taliban-Al-Qaeda bond, and that bond has grown. Al-Qaeda, how is the Taliban so successful in the north? Al-Qaeda convinced Tajiks and Uzbeks and these disparate groups. It got them together and got them to integrate with the Taliban and fight under the Taliban's banner and help them with recruiting and help them. This relationship between the Taliban and Al-Qaeda is key. And this was the whole problem with the entire so-called peace process. You can't deal with the Taliban unless the Taliban is going to deal with Al-Qaeda. So, you know, look, Karzai, he's been a big part of this problem over the past two decades, but he's absolutely right on this. Nothing he says about this is shocking. This is, you know, that's the state of play in Afghanistan is the Taliban-Al-Qaeda relationship remains strong, as strong as ever, and Al-Qaeda has played a role, a significant role, in the Taliban's current offensive.
The quote, Tom, is from Hamid Karzai. We recognize as Afghans all our failures, but what about the bigger forces and powers who came here for exactly that purpose? Where are they leaving us now in total disgrace and disaster? Do you disagree with that in any fashion, Tom, that we're leaving in disaster?
No, I mean, I wrote, you know, more than 3 years ago now, I wrote that this war was lost. The U.S. doesn't know what it's doing. And, you know, that this is going to lead, this is leading to the America is trying to retreat from a war that it's lost. And that's what's happened here. And, you know, I am not inclined to agree with Hamid Karzai on a regular basis, but in this case, I have to. I mean, he's basically right. He's entirely right on this. And, you know, what's interesting about it, too, is remember, Karzai is someone who's played the game of agitating against the American presence in Afghanistan for his own political purposes when it suited him. And now, as the end draws near, you can hear him squealing that the Americans are leaving and that basically everything is very dire. Well, you know, it would have been better to have gotten on board and to have recognized the bigger problems here looming a long time ago for Karzai and others, as opposed to, you know, crying wolf now when the wolf's actually at your gate.
Tom Jossin, Bill Raggio, Foundation for the Defense of Democracy's Long War Journal. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.